Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Welcome to This Guy Gets It with Mark Sessler. This week's episode, injury prevention and corresponding success in the National Football League.
Injuries are a part of sports. They're a part of football. After all, football has been described as a violent game. Large men piled one atop the other above the treasure, an oblong ball covered in pigskin. The NFL has made a series of rule changes in recent years to protect its players, especially in the areas of special teams, protecting defenseless players, and of course around the game's crown jewel, the quarterback. That being said, injuries still occur, both in games and even in practice. I'd also point to the time that Nate Burleson was injured while attempting to prevent two entire deep dish pizzas from falling off the passenger seat of his moving vehicle. Players twist ankles, mash their groins, and suffer bloody lips. But the NFL continues its efforts to make the game safer for all. Join me next week as we take a look at the league's turf tug of war. We'll dive deep next week.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Still a better love story than Twilight.
Love is love is love is love.
Oh my God. It's fine.
Welcome to another edition of Around the NFL from Rocco's here in West Hollywood, the heart of Boys Town. During Pride Month, my name's Dan Hansis, and I'm on a patio filled with some heroes. Greg Rosenthal housing a sandwich. Connie Fox, Mark Sessler. And oh my goodness, she's already back. Ricky Hollywood, Erica Tamposi, what's up, gang?
Couldn't get rid of me that quickly, could you?
This is the Ricky-sode. You know, every year we will be here. It was a glory. I will look back on that first Pridecast forever because it was the first time we ever did it after the pandemic.
We were so giddy just to be together in that moment that, like, I don't even know what of NFL talk we did, if any, at all. But a helicopter landed in the middle of the podcast. Like, it was all so perfect.
Which is not to suggest that we're jaded now, because I am very excited to be here. You know, we got some drinks in front of us. Water, of course. We have our friends here. We have Randy Chavez. We got Sean Kelly. We got my brother, Kevin Danger Hansis. Let's give it up for Kevin Danger Hansis.
Kevin Danger.
We actually saw a film with Danger on Monday night called Daughters of Darkness at the New Beverly, and it was quite an experience, Dan.
That's very true.
Dan had to lightly scold the kids' table right before we started the podcast just to tell them to keep it down a little over there.
I was hoping that Justin Graver, the grave digger, was going to step in and say something, and I did. I can't help but in my head, I was like, Erica would have said something already by now.
Oh, yeah.
I was seconds away from asking them to quiet their conversation.
Buried in a big spot.
Very exciting to be here together. And, you know, we've been together for so long now, and there's been good times and there's been bad times. And I feel like we're in a good time cycle right now. So let's all appreciate being able to be together here in the middle of West Hollywood. This is so cool. The Pridecast during Pride Month with Ricky.
Yeah, baby.
And a lot to get to. And by the way, Mark, excellent debut ep of This Guy Gets It.
Thank you. You know, I thought when I like to listen back to these just because it's a newer show. a complete report to start with, a trenchant report, and that's what I'm going for. And I hope that the listeners each week will be loyal and come back.
It delivered on its promise, which was, here's the floor. Mark, obviously now he signs a new contract and they want more from him. And what's he here? He's here to deliver takes. And I didn't catch any real take.
Yeah, it was
in
very,
the first app. Mm-hmm. That was the
light.
One thing I would say. Like,
it was informative.
It was informative. Colleen nailed it.
That's your opinion. I thought it was rich with takes.
What's app two again?
What is the episode number?
Episode two.
Oh, turf. Tug and turf.
Turf war.
Oh,
no, that actually was episode
tug
20. That was episode 22 we just listened to. And 23 next week is a deeper look at the various choices teams have made about turf or grass.
Very sober-minded and informational, though. Very, like, Dick Schaap on the sports reporters kind of vibe. I wasn't expecting that from you, but...
I think there's a space to be filled there, and that's what I'm attempting to do.
And there's also... Yeah. It does crack the door open for my dream, is that we're one step closer to sports with Mark Sessler.
We're not going there.
Are you sure?
I mean, listen, we're here today. I could make some decisions today that could change my entire life. So
you gotta get some drinks in them, basically.
Sports. You know? Sports. It's happening.
And now let's turn our attention. We have so much to get to today, by the way. We have news. We have a nice seg. Looking forward to 2022 here in Boys Town. We'll get to in a little bit. But we need to talk to Ricky Hollywood. Erica.
Yes.
What?
Ricky.
First of all,
Ricky.
This is fun, right? This is all together, right in your neck of the woods here. You're happy to be here, right?
Oh, my God. I am so excited. So excited to be with everyone.
Long-time interviewer Dan Hansis.
Yeah. It's been amazing. You know, the past... How long has it been now? A month? Since
you left us, yes.
Yeah.
It's been amazing, the month.
It's been so refreshing.
Since you hit us with the...
I'm happier.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's pull back the curtain here. You guys did know some stuff was coming up on my plate that I'm very excited at, and today is a phenomenal celebration because I'm out here, bitches. Sorry, Justin. Tomorrow is my last day at the NFL.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Hello, Larry.
Celebrating it. Out here. You know, you're out of here.
She gone.
She's
like, out of the closet, or is that what you're gonna?
No,
she
I got
you. Broadcast.
I got you.
Nicely
it
done,
a, it
Greg.
Took a second.
I got
Ricky,
you.
You have a glow to you. Is it the removal of us that has allowed that glow to start to emanate from your skin?
No. It's been sad. You know, we're talking about plans.
She
for...
says that with a big smile.
I don't sense like deep sadness, but okay.
You don't seem.
No,
sad
I mean,
all.
You know, Greg tweeted out this beautiful thing about your amazing contract and no pictures of me, no inclusion for the last 5 years,
go.
And you know when
inclusion, Greg.
Yeah, Greg, the podcast.
Hello.
I don't know. I'm just. It's bittersweet to see you
Greg
guys thriving. You know, I wish you would. I texted Dan. I was like, could you be any happier that I'm gone? And he's like, oh, shut up. Like, the show has to go on. And I was like, but be a little sad, you know?
Yeah, but you're not sad.
No.
This is like, I feel like it's great because it removed, like, the responsibility for you. And now you can just, like, hang out and have fun. Like, that's how I feel when I come on the show. I don't have, like, a true work responsibility, like, in terms
but
of
I did.
The levels and, like, the drops. Sure. And, like, that seems stressful, Graver. I'm sure you're doing
that's
great.
That's why I can't even help it. I'm like, fine. Are we recording?
Did you lead with the levels?
Yeah. The levels
are incredibly important.
They are.
But I had to check. Like, are you recording, Justin? I'm like, wait, what am I? Stop, Erica. You got to stop.
You're out.
Well, you're a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going?
I am going somewhere that I'm very excited about. And
mysterious.
Yeah. A couple of places, actually. We got some really cool things on the horizon. One big thing that I am not able to announce yet.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at
but
that.
We're working on something.
Well, you know, this was, we talked about it when you left, that this just made sense for your next step to do your Ricky thing. And if you're more successful than us, I will resent you. But if you find that, it's like Sam Darnold when he left the Jets. If you find an acceptable level of success, I'm very happy for you.
Great.
If you find too much success, resentment.
No, take me with you. I'm like super happy for you. Keep going. Keep working hard and then bring me along for the ride.
What do you think about Gravedigger, how he's done so far? Be honest.
I think he's done a phenomenal job. But, you know, it...
I mean, how would you know? There's no way you've listened to our podcast since. And I don't blame you for that, but there's no chance.
Actually, a couple of times I would listen to the beginning and end just to find out, like, what you guys did during the weekend. Because I, like, don't get texts anymore, like, about happening.
Oh, no.
But
wow,
I got a lot of
hitting
out.
You're still on the ATM bastard chain.
There's more settling going on here.
How come you didn't mention me in the tweets celebrating?
Yeah.
The truth is, yes, because you did send me that text. And we worked together for so long, and you're such an awesome part of the show, and you'll forever be a part of the show. But, like, you know, again,
it
we talked about
you,
with the contracts.
You
talk about me and my brother went to Hanano's in Venice last week and kind of had a beer and a burger and felt the presence of Chris. And, like I, it's still hard to believe that, like, 2 weeks after we lost Chris, we were doing episodes again. And... because that's just kind of what this job is. You know, you just keep moving. So that's what I said to you, basically, that, like, it's not like we forgot about Ricky. It's like, this is a machine, the tank. There's no reverse gears in this tank, Mark.
Right, but
other
question.
You're part of the show forever.
Do you find Gravedigger, is he too ambitious? Is there a concern there on your front? You're a supervisor.
Not anymore.
So you know, the concern is on Mark's front, but he's trying to use you
to, like, say
I'm asking for your input.
So honestly, it's a direct reflection on me because Justin has been my second for the past year. So for the last year, I have been training him to get him to a superb level, and that's why I felt comfortable leaving you guys in the best hands.
Do you have advice for Graver? Like just one last piece of advice for producing this podcast?
Yeah, no, I think it's important to stay grounded and know that Greg is always going to come off as brutally honest, but it comes from a loving place. Dan cares more about this show than his own children almost, and I respect that because he really wants to get it right, so get it right for him. And Mark just wants to know what time to start and when he can leave. So as long as you have those timings and you know what's happening, then you're going to be great.
It's deadly accurate.
And shout out to Jack and Harrison. I do love you, but there are limits. All right. This is awesome. Ricky, I love having you here with us.
Thank you.
I love having everybody here with. And
yeah.
Where's Kevin Danger?
He left.
Oh, he went to the bar.
Who is
my brother.
Sexy, by the way.
You into Danger?
I mean, he's got the rolled up sleeves,
is
the slick back hair.
The hair in this family is
not
ridiculous.
He's not bringing me back. But the Jaws shirt with, like, the blood and gore on it is, like, kind of sexy. The sunglasses, like, are you threatened at all before we get into, like, I would feel.
He is the younger brother, you know, he's almost 6 years younger, so.
But he's like. He's like beefy. He's like,
we've done a Super Bowl week with Danger, and I would say he does exude, and it's not just my observation, although I feel this way. But the
sex
way
appeal.
That, he has raw sex energy coming off him.
Yeah.
And we've been to multiple events where, like, women are coming out of the woodwork and taking pictures with Kevin Danger. So that's my report on that.
Right.
But how many kids are in the family? Do you have other brothers too?
Yeah.
I have a sister.
Hell
which,
yeah!
You
what's
know.
She look like?
A rarely discussed sister.
Does it look like my TikTok filter of you? Is that what your sister?
No, that's not what she looks like.
Aunt Dan.
No, I'm very happy that Kevin's here. Mm. And if maybe this is the neighborhood for him, maybe it's not, you know, after the show. But let's see what happens. What kind of energy emanates for Danger? We got a lot to get to. Transition. So much to get to. But let's start. You know, like we do. I have to say, Greggy, you know, you send your, it's the messaging client that we use. This time of year, sometimes when you send, this is the news that I kind of saw.
Yeah.
Kevin, you just missed, like, a hardcore, like, conversation about you specifically.
About your sexuality.
You'll have to listen to the episode.
And you went to the bar for
love
a giant
is love
beer.
Is love is love is love. And this beer is full. And I'm back, baby.
There he is, Danger, exuding that BDN.
Yeah.
Let's now talk about the show.
Okay.
We're going to talk about things that we're feeling gay for in 2022 here in the middle of Boys Town. But before we do that, let's hit the news.
Well, just maybe a little bit of all of us. You know, everyone's a little
gay.
That's right. That's an ally.
Oh, my point was... sometimes when Greg sends the news rundown, it's like, this sucks. And like Mark and I will privately text about Greg's like news rundown. It's like, right, where does he text. Get off even thinking this is news? We do like a 20-minute back and forth about it. But this time, Greg, it was like, this is a real good beefy news.
You got to stretch an OTA season. Some of it's unfortunate news, but it is beefy. It is meaningful.
News by its nature is something that you don't know and probably find unpleasant typically.
We used to, back in the day, when we did three shows a week in OTA and minicamp season, and we were writing articles like minicamp takeaways, winners and losers from minicamp. We were stretching. And now we don't do almost any news from minicamp of like who's a starter and who's looking good. We've given all that up.
Well, save it for another episode of This Guy Gets It with Mark Sessler, because that's a great app idea.
Yeah, that's two from now. I'm starting to work. I'll write that up, and I'll get that to you soon.
Thank you. All right, let's get to the news. Let's start with the Rams. They've done it again. Signing big deals with their greatest stars, locking them up for another Super Bowl run to come. Let's do it in order in which they occurred. The Rams restructured Aaron Donald's contract. We went through the old process of, oh, is he going to retire? No, he was never going to retire. He just wanted a raise. And guess what? He got a raise. An extra $40 million over the next three seasons. Keeps him on the field. And it makes him the highest paid defensive player in football, which is bang, exactly where he should be. And it pays him like a star quarterback, which makes sense. And then 2 days later, Cooper Kupp signs a three-year extension, the star wide receiver. It's essentially a new five-year, $110 million deal. Puts him in that category of the highest paid wide receivers in football, $22 million a year, coming off an all-world season. So here we go, Greg, and people are going to hem and haw and get all fired up about the Rams' salary cap situation. But at the end of the day, they know what they're doing. They've proven it. And they are getting into bed with two guys that are cornerstones.
No pun intended.
Of the Lombard. What did I say?
The Ricky podcast.
Could not stop herself.
Of their Super Bowl championship.
That's
going to be Erica's job this episode, just to point out anything like.
Sounds vaguely
getting into bed with two guys during our podcast?
That's perfect.
That's on point.
You did that on purpose. Topic.
I did not, but that's where my mind's at.
Yeah, exactly.
In West Hollywood.
The Donald deal is one of the crazier deals, and it makes sense because he's maybe the greatest football player ever, one of the best football players
all
ever,
right,
one of the best defensive football players.
You're going hard.
He's in the mix, I'm just saying. But to get more than $30 million a year where you didn't even get any extra years tacked on, it was just like, we're going to give you more money. Here's, you know, $10 million more a year. Here's, you know, basically $100 million guaranteed. It's basically like a two-year deal. But it's just a sign that, like, the teams with the owners who have a ton of cash have a huge advantage. Because everyone's like, how does this all work with the salary cap? It's just because you're giving them cash. Stan Kroenke's just got cash to burn. He's just throwing money away lately.
He really is.
I'm not being real about it, but, like, their signing bonuses that they can give and just spread the money out, like, the Giants couldn't do that. You got a broke owner. You know, the Steelers can't do that. The Titans can't do it. Though he couldn't do the deals that Cooper Kupp and
Does
Aaron Donald
say
didn't
that
make.
This is not necessarily a good thing, because it's true.
It's not I think
a
it's
great
fine.
Thing for the future of the league.
I think it's
well,
fine.
I just don't understand what the salary cap is at this point, because the Rams have three players that are making over $25 million. I'm getting like a I'm getting upset about
the
it.
Cap with the signing bonus, and you could prorate it, and it's this thing. These deals are going to be the one that make it the talking point now, because now everyone's fighting about it. I saw Andrew Brandt went on Pat McAfee's show, and then they were bagging on Pelissero, who came on Good Morning Football this morning to like defend himself that the salary cap does matter. But what it comes down to, like the very like, from what I understand, cap over cash. If you are a rich owner who's willing to spend and take a risk on not getting caught with a horrible contract with your great stars if they fall off, you could spread out that bonus money, and then your cap will be okay.
By the time you get to 5 years from now, how big is the salary cap going to be? But this is not new.
But however,
Washington, Greggy, and Dallas were doing this 25 years ago. This is not a new thing.
However,
that's all I'm saying.
And this comes from someone who's a big baseball fan who's seen the disparity in salary caps, even in salary, even as a Yankee fan, has had a negative effect on the sport. Now that like there's a light being shined on this in a different way, it does make me, again, worry about Joe Burrow. It makes me worry about Justin Herbert. What's going to happen for these teams that aren't willing to do the same thing that the Rams are.
Right. Football, one of the reasons it's become a national sport where no matter who's playing on Thursday night, it's going to blow the ratings of any other athletic competition out there, is because the NFL focused for so long on equitable scenarios between all 32 teams, going back to when there were 28 teams, that this is starting to become an issue is not good for football on any level. And I don't think the cap thing is an issue at all, but they do in two seasons from now have $128 million tied up in four players. That said, they look at that, they know that, and they know they can manage that. And we'll see what those contract situations are in 2 years anyways.
But if they win another Super Bowl, then it doesn't matter.
And here's
none
the
of this
crazy
matters.
And what's their defense without Aaron Donald? Everything changes. So they just had to do these things.
It's not this thing where it's like, ooh, the bill's going to come due someday. No, you can just keep doing this. The Saints have been doing this.
That's like, what I was going to say. Like, the Rams are a perfect – I think that's why they're such an interesting talking point with this, because they're the perfect example in both directions. They did the same thing with Goff, and they did the same thing with Gurley, and it backfired.
True.
And you think, oh, if you backfire with these type of deals, you're screwed for 5 years. They won the Super Bowl. So it's like, maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe Greg, because you say you're not as concerned about it, maybe it just comes down to the league is changing, the way players are paid is changing, and teams will adapt, because ultimately they are all very wealthy people behind these teams. I hope it does, but my concern is that some teams won't be able to do the things that a team like the Rams
can do. I think it's
do.
An edge, but it's still a hard cap in some ways. It's not that huge of an edge. Like, it's not going to turn dumb franchises into successful ones just because they have an owner that can spend a lot of money. The Donald thing is unique, but Cup's deal is more him saying, like, actually, I won't try to max out. And these are two players that, like, you can't be wrong on. One of the greatest three defensive players of all time and the best receiver in the league last year. It's like,
injury.
You can't really be wrong.
Injuries, yeah, injury, right, and it's football.
But Cup's
did
deal
you listen
crazy.
To the latest episode where right. This guy gets it?
I think we've covered that topic in a rich fashion. So
Cup's deal reminds me more of a little bit like Rob Gronkowski's deal he signed early in his career that he regretted. Like, and Cup's getting 75 guaranteed. That's second or third among receivers, so he's happy. But he didn't try to break the bank with this. If anything, his deal will look below market sooner than later.
But is there a better place to be than to be in Los Angeles, to have a team that's going all in year after year, and like to do it here in California and having won a Super Bowl too? I mean, it feels like they just have everything going for them. They have Sean McVay, who everyone loves and adores, and like, you know, he just got married and he's eating Lombardi cake at his wedding.
Are you really?
And
like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
and
yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. is crashing his wedding, and like,
could be next
he's gonna resign
like,
for sure.
This team feels like it just has that like it factor.
And then
to
you got
it.
The Chargers, who are a really fun, exciting team on the rise. It's a good time for LA football.
But to your point, that's a pretty big difference in ownership, and we're about to talk about like another part of the Walmart dynasty, which Stan Kroenke is too. He married into it. He was already rich, and then he married into Walmart.
That's such a great move.
And that is such a difference between them and the Chargers.
Such a great move.
The Chargers are essentially what the Jets used to be in Giant Stadium, and they're a family-run operation that's never really made their own money. You know, they came from the – so if there ever was going to be a dichotomy, it's those two L.A. teams because the Chargers, I don't think, have a lot of cash.
Truth, bro, truth. All right, let's that was a weird transition.
I loved it. No, it was great. A+.
But it is true. I'm feeling good about your Celtics, Greg. Celtics in five.
Celtics in five now.
I think six.
Ew, I hate this.
I'll take whatever. No. I'll take whatever.
All right, we got this story's not going to go away. And you could say you're sick of the story, but facts are facts, and things keep coming out, and it's just important. And to the NFL season to come, and that's what we're doing here, to talk about this stuff. The New York Times reported Tuesday that Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson booked massage appointments with at least 66 different women over 17 months. From the fall of 2019 through the spring of 2021, the list of 66 includes the 24 women who have filed lawsuits against Watson, including two in the past week, a woman who sued Watson but then withdrew the complaint, two women who filed criminal complaints against Watson but did not sue him, and at least 15 therapists who issued statements of support for Watson at the request of his lawyers, at least four therapists contracted with the Texans, and it goes on and on and on. And this is, Connie, this is a situation here where it's like, the New York Times and Jenny Varentis, who's an excellent reporter, not just a great NFL reporter, just a great reporter, and that's why she ended up at the Times, the Gray Lady, as it's known. They're doing the work. They did the work that the Browns supposedly said they
right.
did.
Right, the due diligence that the Browns said that they did, and now these two other lawsuits just came about. Like, shouldn't this be enough? Just based on, I texted you guys about the last episode and Greg outlining exactly what some of the suits say. And just like hearing that language is jarring in and of itself. Like it feels like it's a violation to just hear about it. Shouldn't that be enough? The fact that Deshaun Watson booked appointments with 66 women from 2019 to 2021. He said that it was only 40. Okay, fine. 66 women. And then the fact that in this New York Times article that the Texans supposedly were helping with NDAs and basically providing a safe space for this to happen. Shouldn't this be enough? When you read the latest suit from the 24th woman, it's appalling. Like, I don't even want to say the things that happened because I don't even feel comfortable saying it on a mic for a national news network because it just feels wrong. And shouldn't that be enough that it is uncomfortable to even talk about the details surrounding these cases? Why is he not suspended yet? Why is he being awarded the largest contract to play? Why is there a bidding war for his services when he is out? This is a pattern. This is not a one-off. This is
multiple started too. The reporting women. Is revealed. Yeah,
you can't tell me that this is just like a coincidence. That this is like a money grab. This is not. And this is a total violation. And it's a slap in the face to women across society. Basically, not even just like NFL fans. It's just like being a woman in general and hearing about this. And it's just going to keep happening. New updates. New suits. Anything. And it's just, it's a lot to hear about and now to have to talk about because it's my job. It's infuriating, quite frankly. And there have been so many times where I say, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want these feelings to bubble up. But I am so angry. I'm so angry at the Browns, at the NFL. He should be suspended, full stop.
Yeah, it is absolutely sickening. And you absolutely hit the nail on the head. As a woman, not even an NFL fan, as a woman, to be reading, you know, comments, and of course there are trolls, but there are a majority of people who feel differently than we do. And to me, that's sickening in the acts itself as well, because it is just like everywhere we turn, it is a constant, you know, battle to deal with yourself when you're reading this and you're looking at how people, I mean, you are showing us who you are when we're reading these comments and you think we don't know who you are. But it is like so hurtful. And I've looked at something that in his contract, the reason why the Browns became, you know, part of the race for Deshaun Watson is because it almost was like his agent had written that contract. There are like no voids. There are all these different type of things that these other teams that were in the race for him dropped out because it was essentially like Watson's agent wrote it. So looking at this and his contract, he really kind of is bulletproof still. To this day, and to that itself is makes me sick to my stomach.
The way he's not, though, is if they suspend him. And I think that's why the right. timing and the details in this article are so important. The public pressure that has come up the last 3 weeks. Kevin Stefanski has spoken, the Browns coach, on Wednesday in each of the last 3 weeks. On each of those Wednesdays, the day before, there was a major Deshaun Watson development. We've talked about him on this show. It's the HBO. Then it was the extra civil lawsuit, and now it's this reporting. And I do think the timing should influence the NFL's suspension. So not only are the Texans now being brought into this lawsuit, according to Tony Busby, the lawyer who's representing all the women in this case, they're now suing the Texans as well, which adds, you know, a whole other wrinkle to it. But the details that are coming out and I think absolutely provides public pressure, and that's what good reporters and good media work can do. And I think the NFL responds, unfortunately, to public pressure and PR more than anything. And the fact that this is all happening now, to me, is is very meaningful, because frankly, that 24th claimant, which was very tough to read about, it really wasn't that different than if you read them all. And that's kind of what I said this whole time. Like,
right.
Read all the reporting from Jenny. Read all the cases if you want. Or don't talk about it. But if you're going to, like, read all the cases. It really wasn't that different than most of them. It's just
right.
part of
which
a pattern.
Which is why it's so upsetting.
And so, but I do think, like, this happening now is going to really make a difference. And I was... It's so hard to guess, but I just feel like he's going to be suspended longer than I thought he was going to be a few months ago.
I'm with you. I think there's been a quickening on that front. And I, to your point, Erica, at this point, if you're the Cleveland Browns, you've completely lost your identity and your North Star and whatever it was you were hoping to do with all this. It's incredibly cynical. It's left a dark blanket and aura over the entire offseason and going forward, because the story is not going away. And I've tweeted a few things lately, you know, have been a Browns fan, was a Browns fan since sixth grade, which was 1.5 years ago. And I feel so comfortable totally abandoning everything that they stand for at this point. But there are, like with any fan base, when you tweet something about that, a massive group of people that come at you telling you that, you know, mm-hmm. you're not a guy, you're not a real guy if you've jumped ship because you don't have any fortitude, just stick with it, stick the course, be a real fan. Utter nonsense. And it's like, to Greg's point, I don't think that many of these people have, and it's not just men, it's female Browns fans too. And at this point, I feel like there's a complete disconnect with reality and that portion of fans that are on that. And it's like, to Greg's point, go read what this case is about. Victim by victim.
And one other thing, like, and I won't get into like the graphics of everything, but just like a few things that popped out to me reading the 24th suit here, just about how Watson's tone became more aggressive as he repeatedly made demands about where he should be massaged and how that he kept piercing eye contact with the masseuse as she was clearly uncomfortable, and then even worse things after that. Like, in times like these, I just so desperately wish that Wes was here so I could hear yes. what he had to say, because I know what he would say about it, but I wish I could hear it.
And there is and Mark, you're dealing with that, and that's very true, Colleen. Wes would be on fire about this, and rightfully so. There's a segment of the fan base, Cleveland fans, that just want this to go away so they can get back to having their new superstar quarterback. And that's the Browns as an organization, that they were expecting this to kind of blow over. And it hasn't blown over, at least not yet. And we'll see. It doesn't.
And it would have if he just offered some level of contrition and settled the cases. I mean, that's the thing. He could end this all right. pretty quickly. He'll still get suspended the same amount, but if he wanted to end it, he could end it.
But it's almost like he's in too deep now right. because he's been playing this game for so long. The Browns are in too deep. Like, it makes me wonder, are the Browns internally, how they actually feel about this right. now?
Well, that's why I brought up Stefanski. He's had these press conferences, and he's so uncomfortable about it, and you could almost just see in his face realizing, like, this is my life now.
Completely, we talked about it the day it happened on March 17th, I think it was, like, wow. that the Browns completely are missing the boat of what this actually means. Mm-hmm. What this means for the team, what this means morally, everything, it changes everything about the Browns. And
by the way,
that's where we are now.
So is Deshaun Watson, totally removed from reality. There has not been one word, one syllable out of his mouth that suggests authenticity or accountability on any level. He seems completely removed from the entire situation and what this means for his own life.
All right, let's take a break and we'll hit some more news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, we're back. Let's get to more news. The Denver Broncos announced Tuesday night that the team, you know, I didn't start my little timer.
I can't help it.
Our erstwhile producer. Ricky Hollywood.
I just was like, you gotta start.
Hey, hit your timer, baby.
I can't help it.
Once you have been in the arena, you're always a player.
It's muscle memory.
You never leave the arena.
I can't.
The Broncos
can't
announced Tuesday night that the club and the Walton Penner family have entered into a purchase and sale agreement to acquire the team. The Walton Penner family is now set to acquire ownership of the Broncos from the Pat Bowlen Trust, pending approval of the NFL's from the NFL's finance committee and at least 3/4 of the owners. The winning bid was for kind of in the realm of what our new deal with NFL is, $4.65 billion, according to NFL Network's James Palmer.
This is one of those, like, teams now, like the Rams, that are going to be able to do that cash over cap stuff. And it just makes me think, like, with Russell Wilson's contract coming up, it can be a lot less complicated now for them, that they can just give him a monster signing bonus, spread it out in a way that the Bolins could not. Like, this is proof that any owner who's not really doing a good job, fans should be like, just sell it, bro. Or you just, like, get your billions. You could sell it for $4 billion. So if you don't have the money, like, go sell your team, because $4.65 billion is outrageous. Like, the Bolins makes a, like, what was happening within their family makes Succession look like My Little Pony or something. Like, and yet it could not have worked out any better for them. And I think if you're a Broncos fan, ultimately you're happy, because this ownership group, according to Forbes, is 5 times richer than the second richest NFL owner. They've got $70 to $90 billion.
Like, this was an Italian. You are feeling no pain right now. You have Russell Wilson on a really strong roster, and you just got bought by a mega rich double oligarch scenario.
Walmart money.
Bang.
Like, I think Greg naturally underrates the competitive nature of My Little Pony to some degree. That was a bit of a bizarre comment by him. But I would say this, a lot of times when a new owner comes in, if you're the head coach, if you're anyone in the organization, you're thinking potential overhaul. Not this time, though. This is one. Yeah. If you were Vic Fangio and they kept you one more year, you're out of there, baby. But Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson, it's a great time to take over the team, to provide stability, and it's a good time to be Nathaniel Hackett.
Double
a
few oligarchy. Things.
Yes.
I wonder if this means that they'll get a new stadium. It did catch on fire earlier this year at one point.
That,
but
nice.
That
seems possible.
Only like nice little take there.
It's a little weird that the Walmart family owns most of the Denver sports teams, because Kroenke owns a couple of them.
Yeah.
Too, so Walmart's just like putting their stakes down, but it's
what's
ownership.
So wrong with Walmart, and anyways?
What was that?
Also, the one member of the ownership group that is not connected to the Walmart money, Melody Hobson, she's married to George Lucas, which I thought was interesting.
And they might bring in Peyton Manning, you know, as like a partial ownership.
Peyton Manning that advised the Jets to hire Adam Gase. We don't need Peyton Manning in an advisor role. Just stay in your little booth with your brother and let's fly.
Not George Lucas's first wife, by the way. He went through a rocky divorce many years ago.
Thank you.
We'll have to offline about that.
Mark's always got to get that Star Wars
pop. Are you one of those weird
divorce pop
fans that has like opinions on the wives of the creators? Like you have opinions on George Lucas.
She actually edited Star Wars, Greg. She was like a high octane film professional.
Oh, so.
It can be a positive opinion.
When Colleen brought it up that it was his wife, Mark visibly rolled his eyes because you had those facts and you were like, I have to get
those.
He was
wearing sunglasses.
I did not roll my eyes. I thought that was a nice note by Colleen.
In other news, what is with the Washington Commanders? Why is everything so messy with the Washington Commanders? Defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio apologized on Wednesday after he called the January 6th, 2021 riots at the U.S. Capitol a, quote, dust up. And I could throw the sound of Jack Del Rio explaining his thoughts. And you, if you want to seek it out, read it. And I'm not here to tell you what to think about Jack Del Rio's comments, because you already live in your respective echo chamber on this. But my bigger point is, like, man, the Washington football team, even though they are getting ready, they're starting to get ready to take command. They also don't seem to ever get past the point of like being totally locked in on ball, and the organization is just distractions forever with this team.
No, me and Jack Del Rio have a hard out at 5 p.m. for the insurrection hearings today. So, like, I can't. We got to wrap this pod up soon.
Yeah, it came from Del Rio's Twitter account, which is not the first time he's made news with his Twitter account. None of these opinions that he has are surprising coming from him. And they're not that exceptional from NFL coaches. I would say more than not, there's more Jack Del Rio's than not among NFL coaching. Now, they keep the opinions to themselves and they don't go as hardcore because it creates a problem with your players that you might not really respect them that much when it comes down to it. And I think that's why he had to apologize. But it had some real repercussions already. Politicians in the Virginia area who were not too excited to help contribute public funds were saying, like, yeah, we're not contributing public funds to this Commander's new stadium. A, because Daniel Snyder's a billionaire and they're a mess and we're bringing them up to the Congress in a couple weeks anyways. And B, because of this guy, Jack Del Rio. Now, they might just be using that as a convenient excuse. They probably weren't getting that money, but it's like, Jack Del Rio stepped in. Well, the fact that he had to apologize.
Like, he's being used as a puppet in political talks, which is whatever. But that's part of the problem. It's like, you're the D.C., you're the defensive coordinator, dude. Pipe down. Get out of the way. Like, why are you bringing your attention to yourself and creating this distraction for the team?
Well, a Virginia state senator literally called his comments the nail in the coffin on those stadium talks. Now, I agree. That's been politicized. But Jack Del Rio was overtly in writing against Colin Kaepernick's protests from 2016.
Well, that's what this was about. That's what his comments were about. Well, he was diminishing everything that happened two summers ago. After George Floyd was murdered, and saying like that the reaction to that, he was making an analogy to it. And I'm sure that's not going over well with a lot of his defensive players.
Well, I think that ownership probably came to Jack Del Rio and said, you better apologize now because you're not special enough at what you do to be walking around trumping those comments around.
All right, let's move on. Finally, Darius Leonard will undergo back surgery. Colt star linebacker expected to return during training camp. They believe Leonard will be ready for the regular season. You may remember that Leonard is also recovering from an ankle injury that needed surgery. So he's beat up, all-pro linebacker. That's been just a linchpin of their defense for years now. You hope that he's going to come back 100% because the Colts will need him, Erica, at 100%. He's got to bring Erica back in the show. Yeah. Darius Leonard.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was actually something in the next segment that I was going to talk about. I'm pretty gay for the Colts this year with Matt Ryan and Pittman coming off his first 1,000-yard season.
Are you stepping on that one, or you'll just skip this one?
No, I got plenty. I got plenty of them. So I'm excited to see Matt Ryan in this Colts offense, and hopefully, you know, Leonard is there to contribute to. I think this is going to be a real upgrade for the team.
Dan was talking about how, like, he has these 20-minute long text threads with Mark where he complains about what level of news I'm bringing. And I thought about that before I threw in the Darius Leonard back surgery, because we're not just doing every little injury. And I'm thinking, Dan's thinking, hey, we want to have fun at the Pridecast. Right. Like, do we really need to talk about surgery? And it had to be like a high bar to get over
level.
It. And the fact that it's Darius Leonard and it's happening in June, no one wants to have June surgery. That's a surgery you were trying to avoid, and it's your back, and it's coming off of an ankle surgery. This is their best defensive player.
Nobody wants
this
is Michael Thomas surgery.
Whatever they're saying, insight. Like, we hope he's ready for the season, he's probably not going to be ready for the season.
Okay, so here's the thing. The ankle, it was fixed. He had that surgery last June. Right. And it lingered a little bit. The problem was he was not feeling functional movement in the ankle. So it's not like it was an ankle injury.
Functional
movement. Just the full functionality of the ankle wasn't there.
Look at you, Connie.
So, I know, I did a little bit.
How much comes from the spine? How much comes from nerves?
So that's what the back surgery is. What they're thinking is it was a nerve in his back that was causing the ankle to not have full functionality. So now, hopefully, it will all be good.
Hey!
Yeah. He's going to miss some training camp, guys, but he'll be back for the timetable, officially, is he'll be
clears
back for the start of the season.
Easily, because is he a top 10 most important player defensively in the AFC?
I think
he's in that.
He was still like a first-team All-Pro last year with the lingering ankle injury.
Would you like to come on This Guy Gets It one of these weeks with that kind of analysis?
I always thought they were just kind of like fireside
FDR
chats.
Well,
it's about a 30-second long pod, yeah. So she'd have about maybe 8 seconds to
like
wait.
Like an NPR type
sure.
clip. I got it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm on. I feel like you could be, I don't know if you want to go to medical school or whatever, but there is an angle there.
I did want to be a neonatologist like when I was little.
Like a medical doctor expert when it comes to football
wait,
stuff.
What kind
they
of?
Use guys that aren't very good at it. Like that guy who got
well, women
disbarred
too, Greg.
That yeah. worked for the Chargers. Yeah, there's a few.
Women can
oh,
be doctors
punctured
too.
The lawn, yeah.
Wait, what did you want to be?
So I wanted to go to medical school and be a neonatologist, which is
what
like
is
a baby doctor.
Baby.
For
oh.
like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Work in the NICU
That's
or whatever. Yeah. And then I was like, anesthesiologists make how much money? So then I went to that route.
So then I went into sports.
And here I am at the NFL Network.
Dan just revealed that he never went to like the neonatal thing. He was too worried about the podcast. He wasn't trying to look at
I was
the
like,
pictures
honey,
of
let
his...
me know when the baby's at home. I
Did
gotta
the baby
go make
cry?
A football
Good.
Podcast.
I need a ride.
Take an Uber. That's what's happening in the news. Love you, baby. All right. First of all, I want to apologize to my brother, Kevin Danger Hansis. Now that he's here.
We haven't brought him up once.
When I was a young man in my adolescence, Kevin and I shared a bunk bed. He was top bunk, I was bottom bunk. And you know the old Malcolm Gladwell theory, 10,000 hours is the magic number for greatness, to like know how to get great at something, 10,000 hours.
To be an expert.
To be an expert. For me, I gained my 10,000 hours throughout my adolescence and into my 20s listening to WFAN, the sports radio titan in New York. And to get to that number, that required the clock radio next to my bed playing overnights
no.
with Joe Beningo, with the Schmoozer, Steve Summers. And my brother, 6 years younger than me, so let's say I'm 15, he's 9, he was subjected to WFAN his entire youth, all the way until I went away to college. And I just want to use this platform, Kevin, I'm going to hand you the mic, to apologize for putting you through that. Because
wow.
I understand that it helped me get to the 10,000 hours, and really in a lot of ways, and I mean this sincerely. I don't think I'm here right now if I wasn't that in love with the idea of sports talk radio. But maybe it was at your expense. And I just want to say I'm sorry and I love you.
Dan, I'm proud of you where you are. And I feel like we did that together. And that being said, Sports Radio 66, The Fan, WFAN, New York, every night. Every
Kevin
night.
Danger Hansis, everybody.
Hey.
And in the County Crows, round here.
Okay, that you should apologize for more, I
that
feel
10,
like.
That 10,000 hours didn't get you anywhere, the County Crows business. But
August and everything after, I stand by the record, and I feel like I have nothing to apologize for.
That was so beautiful. As like In Sync, This I Promise You, which I want to be my wedding song, and Jet said absolutely not, was playing, but you like apologized and I like felt emotional. Like I really like that.
Maybe Counting Crows.
Yeah.
Like having you put a ring on it, like what's going on here?
I know.
What are you waiting for here?
No,
what is up with that?
I was like, wait, aren't you married? And then I forgot. No, you just.
No.
So that's how I got here, was she went away and came back without a ring.
Right, right.
So now I'm the producer.
Justin, let's not talk about the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah.
Okay?
It means more to some than others.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What you're up to over there.
Yeah.
Tearing down the walls.
No, I think in the next year. It's not.
I would not delay this.
It's not an exciting story. It's not an exciting story. She is getting her doctorate in physical therapy. She's in school in a 3-year program.
But can I don't mean to cut you off, okay? And mansplain
you're
here.
You're mansplaining on my podcast.
Down, I need to tell you something.
Don't
I
wait.
I need to
don't
tell
wait.
You something. I got to talk to you.
Okay.
If you are with somebody who's super hot, as I was in my dating years.
And amazing.
And better than me.
And still are.
Yeah, and still remains. You got to put a ring on it. Because if she meets some fancy, you know, lady doctor or whatever...
Neonatologist.
If you don't get the ring on before that happens, it's a wrap. You gotta get the ring.
So you're saying I'm batting way out of my league, is what you're saying?
I think you're hot and cool and funny and smart.
But I would Jet's
not,
way better.
I would not mess around
but
with
Jet's
this.
Way better. Okay, listen to me.
I would not mess
Jet
around.
Jet said she does not want to be planning a wedding while in school. She said that if we get engaged in the next year, we can do a 2-year engagement.
How much of this are we cutting out?
No, we can leave it all.
We're keeping all of it.
We can leave it all.
What Dan just said to Erica, let's keep it. This has been like the most anti-pride part of the episode somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah. No.
We're just keeping it real. We're keeping it real on the pride cast.
We are... I have the funds for the ring put aside. We are ready to go. She just wants a 2-year engagement because of school. So by next year, we will be engaged.
Does Dan's analysis strike any fear in you, though, that maybe she would,
not even
you know,
fear.
No.
She wants
fear.
A 2-year
engagement.
Well,
that sort of sounded
no, she,
somewhat
she
fearful.
She doesn't want a long engagement, and she's in school for the next 2 years. Okay. So she's like, I cannot plan a wedding while I'm in school, getting her doctorate
Mark,
with all those hot lady doctors.
Where I came
doctors.
From, advice friend to friend, was that out of bounds in your opinion?
I think that what I see happening here a little differently is that Erica is working with Jet's career and wishes to some degree versus like dropping an ultimatum by the time she gets home tonight, which could go south. I think ultimatums don't typically work.
I don't think your advice is misguided or it's coming from a good place. I just enjoyed your backpedaling, explaining to her why she's such a good catch. That was
my
favorite
like,
part.
But we all
you're
know.
Hot and smart
we
and talented and
know.
I love you.
We all know.
Like cue cards, backpedaling cue cards.
We all know. Hot,
smart. Funny.
We all know I'm batting out of my league. And I'm trying my hardest to lock it down, I promise.
I love you, Erica.
You guys
are the best.
I love
you. Colleen's
like, I wish that
you.
She just like landed in the helicopter across the street and that was the whole proposal right here on the Pridecast.
I know.
But maybe next year.
You know, fun fact, I actually thought about when I first met her for the first time, Lakeisha was like, thank God you were with her because the last one was a total disaster. And then I even said, me and Jet were talking one night that the perfect person that we would want to ask to marry us would have been Wes.
Aww.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. He would have been great.
He would have been so good. And he thought
it.
Jet was better than me,
but
too.
But not Dan,
so.
Greg, or Mark.
No.
I do not stand by this narrative.
Jet is better. She literally is.
No, she's right. She's right. All right. Before we take a break, this is the Pridecast. What are we doing after the podcast, by the way?
We're going to go to the Abbey, to where the male dancers are. I'm going to get Kevin a little loosened up.
You get danger loose?
Oh, we're getting dangerous.
We're getting dipped into the culture.
We're getting dunked.
Doused into the culture.
Do you remember?
Anything could happen.
5 years ago at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, I pitched an idea about scuba diving and you guys making your picks in the aquarium at the Mall of America. And all the suits at NFL said yes. And you know who said no? Mark. I'm not taking my shirt off and getting in that water. You're getting in the water today, big boy.
Whoa. That was a long time ago.
Wow.
My world has changed.
I loved it.
Also, I'm sure that story is half correct.
Did you say that was a long time ago? My world has changed.
Yeah,
sticking to that.
No, because he's hot. He's lost weight. He's wearing aviators.
Now, yeah,
he's
no. I care about almost nothing at this point.
Beach body.
Yeah.
He's not.
See, I don't think it's about being afraid to take off a shirt. I think he's saying he fears nothing.
I just don't care.
I also know probably the driving force behind that, and we would have shared Mark's opinion was like, we're not doing all that for something barely anyone's going to watch.
That's right. Much
that
more
our,
where I was coming from
that
with
was our
refusals.
Fair.
I
remember it.
Scuba diving
right,
shirt.
But you guys were cutting fish. You did that. Remember at the aquarium?
That was a hideous experience.
And then who ended up on NFL Network because of their segments, okay? So, yeah, you can put me in your little tweet next time,
they aired
Greg.
They aired that on NFL Network?
They did.
Erica,
you're welcome.
Let's pace ourselves with the airing of grievances.
Yeah.
Before we take a break, it is the Pridecast. I would like to share my definitive straight cisgender power rankings of greatest queer icons.
Oh, perfect.
You guys interested?
Yes.
Wow.
Please.
Yeah. Question mark. Yeah. Question
mark. Of course.
If I'm not number one, I swear to God.
Number five, Judy Garland.
Okay.
Classic.
Thank you. Danger. Judy Garland, so iconic that once upon a time, kind of slang for if you're gay, oh, she's a friend of Dorothy.
Such an icon that a new gay icon, at least to me, Rufus Wainwright, one of my favorite musicians, like does entire albums just being Judy Garland and sells out big places doing that.
There you go.
It's still happening.
He was on my also receiving votes list. So
oh, that's
Wainwright.
Nice. Okay. I wouldn't have expected him to make
Danger?
This list more.
She's also a TCM, Turner Classic Movies Star of the Month. Check it out.
Wow.
My brother works for a basic cable channel. Number four. Gaga.
Yeah.
By the way, flag any of these if you don't think they're good ones.
Well, she's an ally.
Right, she's not gay, though.
Gay. I mean,
well, let's not put labels on things.
That's true.
She's
that's
an
true.
Icon.
She's married to an
icon. The icon in the eyes of that
she
community.
She is.
I get it, but in an ideal world, maybe you would,
Tell about your ideal world. Like, this
also,
is my list, baby.
Isn't it a scale? Aren't we all gay, Greg?
That's right.
That's true.
I told Colleen we're making out this weekend at the Pride Parade.
That was, I think Erica said that on our episode last year, yeah. And I agree. We're all gay here.
Okay. So stop judging my list based on what people's
judgment free
sexual
zone.
Preferences are. Number three, Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
Yeah.
A man who never came out publicly. However, I mean, iconic.
For sure.
And he didn't,
For sure.
Total icon.
It's a good one.
Number two. Listen, I'm going to stand by this one, and it's maybe men of a certain age or people of a certain age. Mm-hmm. Madonna.
Absolutely,
number two.
Madonna. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about Madonna. Born in 1980, the only window I had to queer culture as a younger person that wasn't the stereotypical was played up for comedy was Madonna. And some of those videos and her Truth or Dare documentary, she is, you want to talk about allies? She gets a lot of shit now. Madonna, what do you think?
Yeah,
Ricky?
I agree. Totally. She could have been number one, honestly.
Fluid.
It's a good list.
Introducing fluidity to us at a time we didn't know.
Number one, He-Man.
No.
What?
Stupid.
He-Man.
No, what?
Go watch an ep.
I mean, I was sure you, just because it was you, we're going to go Elton John. So He-Man's a much better choice. Yeah. Much better.
He-Man,
I mean, my basement was riddled with He-Man figures, and I can attest to what you're saying. I think that's accurate.
Based on some comments through the episode today, it's all checking out. Also receiving votes, John Waters, shout out Cereal Mom, Johnny Cakes from The Sopranos.
No.
A lot of
season
Sopranos.
6B.
And
Erica Tempos.
Thank you. I'm glad to have made the list.
Also receiving votes.
Well, you also received votes. You didn't actually make the list.
That's true. Right. Thank you. Neither did you, Mark.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, welcome back. Here we go. Let's fly. Stuff we're gay for in 2022. Is this good?
I love that. Yeah, I think it's great.
I do think that the community might look for the next list of, gay icons to have more gays and lesbians on the list.
I don't want to hear Greg's
tweet us. Who would you add to the list?
I'm just saying, why must Greg course correct literally everything that occurs on the show about you, Greg?
I'm just adding that as something
How
to
about
think
this?
About.
You got a little note card in front of you. I would love
I'm
your list.
I'm not coming up with any list.
I want your list.
Greg's
don't judge another man's
is
list.
The tiniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
There's only six words on that.
How can you even read this?
That's what he said.
Like 1 through 5, Rufus Wainwright. We'll be right back.
I mean, how do you not have RuPaul on there?
I'll take that. Oh, I'm just saying, yeah.
How do you not have RuPaul?
It's like the five greatest. It's like the five greatest civil rights leaders, and it's like five white guys.
Yeah. All right.
Oh my God.
Dan, I thought
is it all out of you yet?
Dan, you put a lot of professional effort into that, and I appreciate it. I think we all appreciate, outside of one of us, what you came up with.
I appreciate it.
Lady Gaga, I'm just taking
the piss out of him. This is the podcast right here.
Come from behind the bulletproof glass and join us on the show. All right, let's get into it.
He's Googling, gay icons. What
people
are the
of color that are gay? You
know what I mean? No. I'm doing something much more boring.
Let's get into it. What we're gay for in 2022. NFL style. Or maybe not NFL style. We're having fun. Connie.
Yeah.
And I just noticed your shirt.
This is the one I wore last year.
It's
so
awesome.
So it's like the annual Pride Cast shirt. When we were all on our way here, Dan pointed out that it was basically the same thing that happened last year.
Beat for beat.
Mark got here early. I was stuck in traffic.
Same.
I don't know what else was
Dan. It was
late.
You and Dan
Family
were late.
Members
yeah, you were stuck in traffic. I was sort of in the middle, like slightly late, but not meaningfully.
Right. I appeared 41 minutes early.
I also That's ordered perfect. My food ahead of time because I was starving. You know,
look
it's
at
like,
you.
It's a whole thing.
And you're gonna leave early too, which you did last.
I mean,
time,
it is.
Right?
Yeah, Greggy. I'm not leaving early.
Greggy, hang out with us.
It's my kid's final day of school, and I have
it's
other
also
parents.
My last week of the
I have other parents taking them to
you
this
to
beach
be
event
again.
Afterwards. But at some point, someone's got to go.
Greg
get
is
them.
The guy who had kids to simply get out of social constructs yep. and arrangements.
Dan, how did you just notice?
I would
the
rather
shirt,
hang out with them
the
than you,
yeah,
so I'm not even.
No, no.
You weren't
it's
wearing
loud,
this earlier.
It's the loudest what? Shirt that's ever been a shirt. Yeah,
it's a nice one.
We started. I did a wardrobe change.
You've got wow. rainbow popsicles on there. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's unicorns. There's love is love. I don't know. Human bolts. There's a lot of things happening.
All right, here we go.
Okay, I'm ready.
Connie.
Yeah.
Get us going.
Okay.
What are you gay
things
for
I'm
in 2022?
Things I'm gay for in 2022. TweetDeck and Wes's lists that are on TweetDeck because
oh, okay. I like
heard
the start.
That TweetDeck is going away and I don't know how to save his lists and I live and die by Wes's list.
Wait a second.
Wait, like, it's going away?
It's the only way second. I watch games. I have an NFL beat writers. I have an NFL national. I have every single division that he put together.
I have the same thing.
And I specifically watch games and bring the lists over so I can see them. Now, John told me that there's some type of hack. I didn't follow. I'm not really sure what it is. I need your help, listeners. How do I save these lists? Because I need them and I want them because I feel like every time I go on TweetDeck, it's still like a little connection
so you're gay
to
for
Wes.
The lists.
I'm gay for the yeah. lists and I need
I
them
that.
In my life.
I love that.
I think our listeners will know a solution.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there's a TweetDeck equivalent out there that maybe you can somehow transfer. I don't know anything, but I
what
bet they'll come
with it. They got.
I guess
it's
going
still around
away.
Right now. It's working right now.
Man, that's heartbreaking.
Wes would also meticulously update those
I know.
All throughout the offseason every year. And when he first arrived at the NFL, you know, you'd work shifts together. It'd be a Saturday where he's like, bro, like, let me send you all these, like, various lists. And, like, 20 minutes later when I'd uploaded his 19 division by division, beat writer by beat writer.
Oh, my God.
Long-form NFL article, tweet
yes.
deck forms. Like, I suddenly was an organized blogger. I don't know what I was doing before
he
that.
He did the same thing, too, with RSS feeds back in the day when that is, like, where we look to find news.
Remember,
in the old-school internet.
Read Later, the that website as well. I feel like Wes introduced me to that, where you can, like, list the bookmarks
uh-huh.
of, like,
oh.
interesting things when you're in the middle of the shift, and then you go back and read it.
Oh, that's like Pocket. I think Pocket
probably, yeah.
is probably
same
the same
thing.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Everybody, shout out.
Yeah, let me
Connie
know.
On Twitter, at Colleen Wolf with TweetDeck replacements. All right. Mm-hmm. Let me get a football one out there. I'm gay for Baker comeback season.
Ooh.
I'm all the way in. In light of recent events, I've always thought Baker was interesting, but maybe flawed as a quarterback, right? Talks a lot, gets himself in trouble. But not bad trouble. But he's a as you know, Mark, he's charismatic. And we used to talk about it in the like Sam Darnold never said anything, but at least Baker was interesting, you know, and he puts himself out there. Now we're in a situation where here's my dream scenario. Deshaun Watson is suspended the entire season, as he should be.
Couple of them, hopefully.
Indefinitely, yeah.
You can hit him with that. Hmm. The Browns reach out to be, hang on.
Annual tradition,
like
sirens
clockwork.
Going by.
They're like, this take is so hot, we're preemptively sending ambulances in the fire department.
Like, get hose these straights out of Boys Town.
exactly. It's a paddy wagon?
Yeah, they're like, come on, boys.
Deshaun Watson suspended the entire season. The Browns, this is the dream scenario, reach out to Baker, and they get rebuffed in vulgar fashion. Right? They're like, Baker and his reps are like, get the hell, well, vulgar, get the out of my face, okay? I am going somewhere else that's not here. Cleveland, aware it has no moves left to play, releases the former number one overall pick.
Now we need a little good fortune to come in, whether it's with one of these teams we keep connecting them with.
Seahawks or
Seattle or Carolina or a team, let's say, it's going to be crazy here, New Orleans, a team that's good and has a starter but maybe could upgrade a backup quarterback and opens a window for him if something happens. Lands in a good place, gets an opportunity, and enjoys his best season while the Browns wallow in the mud on the field and off.
The Browns, who soured on Baker Mayfield because, according to people inside the building, they wanted an adult in the room. Well, you found a different adult, so go sit on that, Cleveland. But I would love to see that. I hard root for Baker at this point. Like, wherever he goes is going to be a candidate for the team that I'm most plugged in on. Wow. He will land somewhere at some point.
Wow, okay.
And I think he's a perfect setup for a comeback player of the year. Because, yes, I think he got on your nerves at times, Dan. And I think he got on a lot of people's nerves. But his level of annoying is so different than some of these other athletes out there that are doing harm and creating issues. Baker Mayfield deserves to land with a team and start swinging his sword.
I think the situation that he's in right now, and based on the things that have happened in the past with him, he kind of went from one end of the spectrum to the other.
There you go.
Because it felt like he was, you know, just popping off a little too much about stuff and airing a lot of grievances and maybe saying things that should have just
been
kept.
Needs to talk a little bit less, yeah.
A lot of ads. I mean, the ads are part of it, too.
But right. Now, seeing the situation that he's in, I think that a lot of people, a lot more people are behind him and would root for him to be a comeback player of the year, to come back and absolutely destroy everyone.
They
and
would be behind
like,
him.
That would be the best story ever. Like, I would love that, personally.
I don't know, man. I mean, he was, like, the guy that brought out like the anti-vax all-stars when he was like looking for any other NFL player that actually liked him enough to like work out with him and stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like
Greg,
a lot
why
of
are you so against
care.
Me in this episode?
Why is that against you? I'm right. Saying like I don't know if he's got a lot of support within the NFL. I think fans. I think he's a compelling.
This is
character.
An all-time contrarian take from Greg.
Are you talking like literally the whole story in Cleveland is that clearly. When the locker room was divided, which I don't really believe all this stuff. If he was good enough, he would have been good enough.
Right.
But, like, the whole OBJ-Baker thing, it's a wrap. Like, they were fans of OBJ. He was a great teammate. Like, there wasn't a lot of that for Baker. Like, he has to work on – he's talked about it, that he has to work on, like, getting the trust of other NFL players. I think he's much better, though, at this point than people kind of remember because his highs are very high. His lows are low, but you could see him having
big-time
highs.
Right, you do understand the context of my commentary, right?
I was just talking about
right.
Khalid.
Right,
I don't
so
even remember what you said.
The context of the
point.
Commentary is, like, it would really stick it to his soon-to-be former team if he thrived in a new environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take some I'm eliminating some of the other stuff. It's not
he's
like Baker's
just,
an
like,
underdog.
I was
but
just
like,
responding to Colleen that like he's going to be the people's champion, and I think he's a divisive guy, and he always will be. Like he's got some Jack Del Rio comments out there too in his past. So I think there's going to be a segment
right,
that
strike
is always,
what I said from the record.
Always
never
about
mind.
Baker, and there's going to be a segment that aren't.
All
he's,
right,
he's divisive.
I think I hope the listeners understand my angle on that, but
yeah,
Greg,
I was
you're
just
up.
I think they will do. Let's go non-NFL. Since you mentioned the
I'm
Celtics,
so much heat.
The Celtics
right.
before. I think like with sports, you get like what you put into the experience of being a fan. And I haven't like I am so gay for this Boston Celtics season.
Yes, let's go.
In
season six.
Really, the last 3 years, it was the pandemic that did it for me. And then me and the kids got super into the bubble and. Sports are fun, and I never mind, like, bandwagon fans. Like, bandwagon fans are great because they're not going to get the same enjoyment that the people that have been watching every game, whether it's just that season and or the people that have been watching every game for 20 seasons. You really, like, get out what you want to put into it. And I have enjoyed this NBA season so much. We've, like, me as a family, we've watched, like, three quarters of the games together, at least part of it. Like, every playoff game, it's fun experience. With them, and it's nice that it's not the NFL. You, Dan, get on me about the Patriots, like that I'm not really a Patriots fan anymore, and there is some truth to that. It's not the same. Like, you're at work. Like, it's distracting. I love football, but I just love it in a different way. I love, like, the players and different teams and rooting for things, and I don't feel the same sort of thing about my team, the Patriots. They're still the team I root for more, but it's not that, like, thing that makes you feel like a kid, where you're just down to rise and fall with whatever happens. And then to go through that with your kids and see them to start going through it and stuff is just so awesome. So,
and just the chance, Greg, for the New England region to experience another championship would be.
Well, I think that's true. We've had it's been a tough four years here. Well, the Celtics have only won one in
four long years in New England.
In fairness, the Celtics have only won one since I was 8 years old. So I'm just saying, it's not like they've been rolling up titles. But you're right. The Boston region doesn't.
From a national standpoint, are they the most unlikable?
But I don't count that. I was 6, 7 years old.
No, that's a Sixers fan. Oh, come on.
Dan, your rebuttal to everything that Greg just said.
My rebuttal, I feel bad that you were offended about Baker. I was responding to Colleen. I wasn't even thinking about it.
Everything that Greg says, I think that's great. I know exactly what you're talking about, Greg. That is, like, I'm watching, everyone knows, listens to this podcast, knows I'm a huge baseball fan. The Yankees are 40-16, which is awesome. And we'll see how the season plays out down the end. And the Yankees are no one's, just like the Celtics, no one's idea of an underdog franchise. But if it's something I grew up loving, and my boys have fallen in love with baseball and watching baseball with me, it's different. And I think it's like when you work in sports, like I love the Jets just as much as I did when I started the company, but it is different. Like, and once you are in the company, it's different. Once you're working in the league and covering the sport, it's different. So finding that other sport where you have no connection to it professionally, it almost makes it more rewarding and more fun to watch.
Can I just ask real quick while we're on baseball corner, why the Angels decided to play Nickelback for every single player that went to the plate?
They were on, and I don't know what happened with the Red Sox and Angels yesterday, but they were on a 12-game losing streak. So they had fired their manager, and it's like one of the reasons I love baseball is like weird, stupid things to try to change the tide. So they played like the worst rock band in the last 25 years just try to like change the vibe.
They lost and didn't score a run.
Again?
When they did the Nickelback thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
So they're down. Well, I would have never. You don't pick Nickelback. But, you know, the Detroit Lions, Mark, famously, we covered it on Around the League way back in the day. The Detroit Lions once hired Nickelback to do a halftime show on Thanksgiving. So
infamously,
people have been making these mistakes for a long time.
I'll throw one out there. This is a projection. I'm more hoping this happens. The last two seasons have kind of sucked butt for a number of reasons. And
literally,
Well, Corona, right? Like, I'm super gay for the concept
our pun legislator,
of a season.
Actually, we are going to be part of every show as, like, the gay pun. Like, so it could just be, like,
the
dial-in remote. Yeah, that's it.
Gay pun on Pudsman.
Like, you're like Stat Boy except for gay puns.
Mark, sorry to interrupt, but she really
came in strong on that one. I am super gay for the idea of a season we're not tracking Corona week by week and having, like, key players dropped out of the mix and having games on Wednesday night. I mean, last year got us a lot closer to that, and I am guaranteeing that the pandemic never returns right now.
Whoa.
Oh,
oh,
my God.
Wow.
That's a bar hot
it's
take
over.
Right there.
That's amazing.
All right.
What do you got for that, Greg?
Nothing.
Well, monkeypox has sort of been...
I mean, it's not trying to be a contrarian take. I'm giving the people my opinion. It just happens that I always disagree with you.
But you're on board with that opinion.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, I like the hopefulness of it, and I'm for that.
That's a good one. You want a football one?
I got one. Whatever you got, whatever you want.
So, Colleen, you're going to have to brace yourself for this.
Uh-oh.
But I'm actually gay for the Eagles in 2022.
Yeah, me too.
And I've been very... Obviously, didn't really care about the Eagles as a Pats fan, and that's the Pats homer in me. Once they beat us in the Super Bowl, us being the Patriots, I have made it my mission to make sure that they suffer. And I don't like it, but looking at everything, all the hypes out of
your mission.
Wait, what kind of impact would you say you had?
Suffer?
Yeah.
Like, what have you done?
I've been like putting.
Give me an action step.
I've been giving batteries to fans as they go into the stadium.
No, this is so old. Santa Claus booing.
You know,
and the JD Drew throwing.
I didn't know anything about Philly sports fans until I met John and Connie.
And they're crazy.
And now I've learned if you really want to get them upset,
You bring up the batteries.
Like, oh, throw batteries. Oh, boo Santa. And they get so mad.
I will lunge across this table right now and strangle both of you.
But listen, as unfortunate, you know, I'm taking a step back. And as Greg always tells me, be a professional. Don't just think about the Patriots. The Jalen Hurts.
Have I ever said that?
You have multiple times, actually. So the Jalen Hurts hype is real coming out of minicamp. Right?
Devonta
Smith. Coming out. Thank you, Justin.
Nailed it.
Hey,
Ombudsman. Are you replacing Erica as the gay pun on Ombudsman, too?
Justin's fine. We'll have
it makes sense.
Someone's got to say something, right? So Devonta Smith had his breakout season last year, right? Now they add A.J. Brown to the list. Oh, and also, let's add Bradbury next to Slay. On the D, I am excited. Yeah. Sean Kelly is pumping his fist, and I can actually do a vodka soda.
Hassan
Braddock. I'm excited to see this Eagles team this upcoming year, and I feel proud of myself for feeling.
Can
that.
I ask you?
We have a personal connection with Nick Sirianni.
Right,
point,
we love him.
So.
We
can
love
I ask
him.
You a question?
Yeah.
As you leave the NFL, Ricky.
Yeah.
What will be your, like, how plugged in will you be on the League of 32?
I think I'll still.
Because you were.
I have such a passion.
I mean this in, with all due respect.
You didn't really know much about football when you started.
You came to the company as a Patriots fan.
Yes.
And then you spent, 6 years, 7 years?
Yeah.
When you exit the League of 32 company, do you imagine you'll go back more to your viewing habits as Patriots fan? Or do you think now you'll take this with you and just be more into the League of 32?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I'll definitely be plugged in. I think my whole Twitter feed is everyone. I'm never going to not be a Patriots fan, ever. And that's never going to change. Mac Daddy's looking good in camp, too.
He's looking pretty thick,
yeah,
too,
oh, my
way.
God. He lost a little weight, and he's, like, beefed up. Oh, it's so good. Bill Belichick playing center. Hello, Daddy. Like, let's go. So
Zaddy.
Zaddy.
So I'm excited about the Pats. I'm also LA, you know, person. I'll probably be plugged in on the LA teams just by living here. But, you know.
Totally.
I don't know.
All yeah. right. Connie, give us one more.
Okay. Do you want super NFL or
no.
my,
no.
like,
Where
Shimmy Sweeney Mezcal crop tops?
You can do them
what?
Quick.
Where's your heart?
You have more than one you like.
Well, okay. So I am, like, I'm feeling gay for two running backs this season.
Ooh.
Cam Akers and Javonte Williams.
Mm.
Like, for Akers, I'm just excited for him to actually be 100% healthy and himself, because he had the injury, came back, like, miraculously for that regular season finale and through the playoffs. But, like,
didn't play his best in the playoffs.
He still wasn't
right.
the same. So I feel like McVay loves him. He's going to be great for that offense. I think he's going to do really well. But Javonte Williams, like, that's my making the leap candidate, gang.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'm
he
with
had
you on that.
Two things going against him last year. The fact that they didn't have a quarterback, so defenses never
Rude.
Respected the pass. And then also he was splitting carries with Melvin Gordon, which can't continue. Like, I would imagine that Javonte, they see how talented he is, and they give him the lion's share of the work. But even just PFF, looking at his missed tackles, the forced missed tackles he had last year, 63 of them, that was second to only Jonathan Taylor, who had the most in the league, 66. And you think about all the work that Jonathan Taylor had last year. He had 129 more carries than Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams is going to be a beast if they let him be a beast.
Beast.
So,
like
totally gay for them.
I'll steal that for making the leap.
Okay.
That's a great one. That's a great observation.
Can I make a
I did
take.
NFL stuff this morning. I'm exhausted now.
No, it makes me think about, like, early period Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Where, not that they're
Nick
the same
Chubb,
player,
podcast,
but, like.
Nick Chubb, let's go.
This guy's a super talented dude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he kind of was breaking through. But what if he was made the feature guy? What would happen? And now you put him in a better situation.
Yeah. Fantasy
hats. And we got the fantasy
Heads,
extravaganza
podcast.
Coming up in a couple months. I feel like he's going to be, Greggy, you built it brick by brick, Roto World. Javonte Williams, is he a top 20 pick
no.
in the draft?
Well, you could probably check it out there. They've been doing these best ball drafts. I doubt it. Because
no, but I'm
asking
brick by brick man.
No, because Melvin Gordon's there. Why? Melvin Gordon's great,
I mean, great is maybe an exaggeration, but very, very good. So why wouldn't you feature him a lot?
You get them both.
Yeah.
For fantasy.
Isn't there a big difference between those two guys, though, in terms of their ceiling?
Yeah, but what? I think I'm someone
who...
I think
them?
Most running backs, he is getting taken in the top 20 there. Dan, 15.
Whoa.
Oh. I would not want him because I think...
Evan Silva would, like, come after
you a little bit. I think Melvin Gordon, like, people just want to think he's not a good player, but he's good on all three downs. He's good in short yardage. He's good on third down. Like, you should... I'm sort of the mind you should always use multiple running backs if you have them, if you can.
But I think you tapped into something psychically, honey.
Yeah.
I'm with you, and I think it's going
to
occur.
I mean, how many... Not to devolve into fantasy conversation, but it does feel like... So many backfields are two-headed now.
Right. The so fact that he's still harder. Going top 15 is pretty telling.
Yeah. I think exactly. It tells you that there is what? What is ombudsman pun?
No, just keep it pushing. Keep
you
it moving.
Well, you can't do it like inside joke last with a microphone in your mouth.
I was talking to Mark.
I'm sitting like a foot from her and hearing every little comment, and I'm
you said two-headed.
The mic is hearing everything too. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, two-headed. You
monster
know what I mean?
In the backfield.
Pun ombudsman.
Right.
I think that's good to have on.
Let's see. What else do I got here? That's a good one, though. That was a Connie, that was a good football
I
one.
Did
that
it.
Was a good
I
one.
I did it.
Because we haven't really talked about him.
Right. Mark famously was really excited and kicked off our segment here last year by talking about Gio Bernard's role on third downs. And I asked Mark this week because we had already kind of
that was awesome.
Went back in memory lane about this. And I'll ask you here, like, how was Gio Bernard's experience for you as a fan? Because you were so excited going into it. How was
so
it?
So fluid, that
situation. I
mean,
I think
situation.
It totally delivered in every possible way. I don't know why there'd be any question about that. It was.
Wait, has Mark had any? Wait, you had one only.
Yeah,
so
it was so memorable. Okay. Greg has no concept of
no,
remembering
I remember.
It. So.
I want another.
All right, where do I want to go with this? Let's see. Here's my list. Baker comeback season. I have all the Jets are hot now.
Literally?
The Athletic reported that Mike LaFleur, according to Robert Saleh, is way more jacked this year after spending the offseason in the gym.
Wow.
So he was already pretty jacked.
Yeah.
How is that not a trope?
So now we have...
That is
wait,
one.
Just... No. Now we have quarterback went from 202 to 221 shredded. We got the head coach, who's basically, like, one of the hottest dudes alive. And then you have... Even the OC.
One of the hottest dudes
is
alive.
Cut it. What? You don't think so?
Saleh?
I mean, that's a tie bar there. One of the hottest
Robert
dudes
Saleh
alive.
Is top 10 hottest men alive.
What? Well, if,
no, that is so not accurate. Well, like it's eye of the beholder.
I think he's a handsome
man.
If they play like they did last season, maybe, you know, and it doesn't work out, they can come here and sort of have like a all-male review or something.
There's probably 14 hotter guys on this boulevard.
All the Jets need now is for Eric Decker to come out of retirement, and it's the hottest team ever. Anyway, but that's not where I'm going. Let's see. Josh McDaniels' new Zaddy voice.
Oh, love it.
You guys plugged in on this?
Love
Do we
it.
Have that, Graver?
I have it.
All right, let's hear the new Zaddy voice. This isn't coming directly from Josh, but it's from, who is it, Graver?
Brandon Bolden speaking on Wednesday.
Oh, on how Josh McDaniels has changed as someone who used to be in New England, Brandon Bolden, and now he's like, oh, when he was the OC, but now he's the head coach.
The same, he just says it a little more stern now. It's like if you was getting babysitted by your older brother and now the parents are nowhere at home, you're stuck with your big brother for the weekend. It's kind of like that.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's amazing. That is great. And I was gonna say, because I'm the big brother,
you're just looking around
brother.
For danger. He's you've gone. Lost well, your little brother.
Danger. We have lost danger.
In fairness,
do you guys
asking
have
him to listen to us for a while
in case you get separated?
He's gone. Exactly. He's
Danger's
gone.
Been up to the bar about 5 times, but now I don't even see
also,
him up at the
I
bar.
Also, I will say, when I went to the bathroom here, in the mirror, it's carved Danger. I swear Ooh. To God.
Listen, he's been killing time.
So he
the
must
women's
have been here
bathroom.
Earlier.
So you All guys, because right. I knew you guys had done a lot of pushback on me about Mike McCarthy's Zaddy energy, which I'm all in on. But now I'm saying Zaddy energy for Josh McDaniels.
Yes.
You guys buy on this?
100%. 100%. He literally got the keys to the organization. He's walking around making, you know, the Tuck rule jokes and all that. He thinks he's the hottest thing ever, and I kind of buy it.
I don't know. I feel like if it needs to be pointed out that you're suddenly speaking with a more stern voice and you're being told that you're just an older brother while the actual parents are away, like, it feels a little ironic to me that maybe he's not a total zaddy checking out 100%
of his zaddy. Maybe Brandon Bolden was just, like, making a joke to reporters, and, like, we don't need to dissect everything that they say.
Mark, your take I'm locked in on a little bit, but I also want to give Josh, you know, we're giving him a shot here to clean up some things. It's been a little sloppy.
Oh, I'd welcome the transformation. I'm just saying that the way that it was phrased kind of has some qualifiers to it.
Right, like he's trying to play the part rather than actually is.
Like he hasn't spoken with a stern voice in 49 years, but suddenly now he's in a new role and he's changing his voice. It's like I can think of another coach that went south and changed their voice and took a lot of flack for it on the college level.
I like McDaniels.
Wait, who? Wait, what?
Notre Dame, Brian Kelly.
What other coach?
Brian Kelly, who goes down and suddenly adopts a country accent.
You're
just
going to
leave
the
that there?
I think most people know what I'm referring to.
Yeah. Right? I'm with you.
Mark's not taking any shit today. I like it.
I love it.
You're talking about Brian Kelly.
I am
when
talking
he took
about
the job.
Yes. And had a, like a fake accent.
Where was
accent.
It?
LSU.
He left he goes to Notre Dame and then went to
LSU. Oh, and then
LSU.
he was like from the bayou.
Suddenly has like a thick southern drawl out of nowhere. Like that he adopted on the plane ride south. Like
so bad. Anytime that anyone calls you out for like changing your voice or like being something that you're not is not good.
Are we talking about Russell Wilson again?
Yes. How'd you know?
I'm going to throw one out just because you're talking like the Jets being hotter and more fit. And I will show some of my fandom here that I'm gay for Mac. And I'm gay for this bizarre Patriots offseason that everyone's hating. Now it's like gone on so long that I'm countering that. The fact that supposedly at practice they're doing all this zone run blocking stuff and that they're like out of nowhere – adopting like a Kyle Shanahan type Sean McVay offense, which apparently Bill Belichick's wanted to do forever, but like now there's no guardrails. It's just like Bill gone wild. Like when Josh McDaniels and Nick Casario and everyone else were like, well, we didn't really have the personnel to do that, and you know, we're doing this and that. Now it's like Bill's doing whatever the fuck he wants. He's snapping the center. He's putting Patricia as the play caller. He's trying to be like Sean McVay on offense. He's got this underrated second year quarterback, and it all just seems like messy in a way that the Patriots never are, but I'm embracing the mess. I'm gay for
I think that's more zaddy than Josh McDaniels changing his voice. Bill
Great
Belichick
point.
Is in gigantic DGAF mode.
Right, exactly.
I do kind of enjoy it from a certain
gigantic.
Angle.
Gigantic.
He's like his longtime spouse. Now this isn't the truth here, but like let's just say he had a longtime spouse. He has a girlfriend. We love Linda, but let's say that didn't happen. Where maybe he's embracing new frontiers. Maybe he comes here for the Pride episode and at 70 realizes to live the way he wants to live. Go Shanahan. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good take because it's way better than the alternative, isn't it?
Right.
Right, but I'm kind of here for it. Even if it's super messy and it goes like horribly, I kind of it'll be different.
That Bill fell off, right? It's out there as a possibility.
But he's got this kid. He's got Mac Jones, who I truly do believe in. Has a much higher ceiling than anyone seems to want to give him credit for, that he could be a top 10 quarterback this year, that he could be the next, you know, very good quarterback. Let's go, Mac.
One of us. They're playing Sharon Osbourne up
Great
in this
playlist.
Place.
This was a big song in, you know, around the NFL history because we were once all hanging. Maybe we all weren't there, but we were at the lesbian bar in Indianapolis with the Wessling brothers.
Oh, good call.
And we were just going to guess what's the next song that is going to be played. And I put down...
Man, I Feel Like a Woman?
This one. No, I put this one down.
It was a karaoke, a lesbianic karaoke
song.
Lesbianic.
What If God Was One of Us, Joan Osborne. The next song, I Take All That Money.
Greg is loose, and we are not legally allowed to gamble at the NFL Network.
And I'm drinking water, to be real.
Well, at least it wasn't at a league event.
That's true. Well, why were we in Indianapolis?
No, it was a league event.
Mark, what else do you got, Mark?
I have a personal one that I am very gay for swimming, for aquatics. Like, I just joined a pool, and I went swimming yesterday for the first time, like, in a lap pool in probably like 20-something years, and it was very full, but it was me, and you know, you
so
have to share
fitting.
The lane with another person. It was a man who was like 88 years old and going like 1 mile an hour, so I kind of felt bad because I kept
crushed
like
him.
I destroyed him, but it was like I think I have found the thing that I want to do
him.
With my body for the next like couple
I
of months.
I love it. There is a pattern emerging, Mark, with you in secondary sports. Where you come on our show
sports
and you explain sports. You are at an event and then you dominated everyone else that was there. And there's never any other video or any other evidence out there. And we take you on it because you're not a dishonest man.
Well, the first example was I destroyed my 9-year-old in tennis. Do you not find that feasible? I mean, it's like he had played twice.
No, your wife was involved, as I recall.
Oh, you dismembered the entire family.
She
cannot compete with me on a tennis court.
I'm merely pointing out that some of these exploits don't have a lot of they're not cited with any evidence.
What do you want me to do, like the swim thing where you wear a cap and everyone does the same motions?
Like, I want you in a Speedo.
We'll come to the YMCA. Swimming,
I think for the people that love swimming, it's almost like a religion. It's very peaceful. It's probably good for mental health. It's good for your body, certainly, those swimmers' bodies.
You nailed Don Draper about it. In Manhattan? Yeah.
And then more importantly, and this is where the gay ombudsman should step in, but this is asking for a lot. The swimmer is maybe one of the most, and definitely one of the gayest short stories in American literature history. When they teach you short stories, they start with The Swimmer by John Cheever, who is a gay icon. He's on my top 5 list.
Well, wow. I think that book needs a sequel.
Well, we only have 2. We need 3 more, Greg.
I don't know. Okay. Rufus.
Wow, I think, that was great. I'm at a loss for words.
I have
a Marchand bomb.
I'm happy
here.
For you, Mark.
Marchand bomb?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a bomb. Maybe you guys know this already.
He better not be coming out of retirement or retiring.
Jason Garrett will replace Drew Brees on NBC's NFL pregame show.
Oofa.
It's like I love these Triscuits that I bought. Plain, not like the ones with the sprinkles on them. Just plain Triscuits, but
they
want something
Triscuits
different.
With sprinkles on them?
Yeah, they have Triscuits with lots of different flavors, but
like,
you know,
olive oil,
right?
And
exactly, garlic,
salt,
whatever.
Wait,
stuff
so
like
he's
that.
In the studio now?
But it's like I don't want main Triscuits. I want to change it up. I'll get the mini Triscuits. Like, you know, that's what I'll do. Mini Triscuits.
I don't understand this analogy. Do you get?
It's like you're placing Wonder Bread with another type of white bread.
He's not in the booth though.
No, he's in
the I don't care as much about the studio show.
Football Night in America or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well.
Yeah.
That's a good update. I thought you said Marshawn.
He
reported it.
He reported.
I thought you meant Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Did he throw a photo
with the cleats on the wire like at the Super Bowl in San Francisco?
Poor Wes had to stop watching the Super Bowl and write like a 600-word breaking news item on Marshawn Lynch coming back into the game.
By the way, breaking news, this from PFT.
Who was called out by name twice, by the way, by Jack Del Rio, that was my favorite part of the Jack Del Rio press conference, how he disagreed with Mike Florio.
Oh, no.
Greg, you have much, much to settle with your old boss, and that'll be an off-season podcast.
Well, this one I loved. I know he loved it, so.
According to Commanders head coach Ron Rivera, he said on Wednesday that he really likes Carson Wentz's command of our offense.
Stop it. That didn't happen. No. Really?
He's getting ready because he believes that he can. He just might, if we all pull together, be ready to take
command.
Command.
As we all know, decided to really go ahead and start to take command.
You know, after all the other stuff we talked about earlier in the show, I'm all the way back in now.
Sure. Arrow up.
All the way in.
Arrow up on the Commanders.
Can I throw out one more thing? I'm gay for it. If anything, just because I meant to tell Mark this, and I'm just using this podcast to give him a recommendation I think he'd like, because he likes Mike. You're a big Michael Mann guy.
Yes, I like Michael Mann.
Okay, the first episode of Tokyo Vice. What do they call the first episode? Why am I blanking?
Pilot?
The pilot of Tokyo Vice, directed by Michael Mann. He is the executive producer. It's set in the 1990s underworld in Tokyo. And just the scene, the show is a lot of fun. I would recommend it to everyone. He doesn't direct every episode. He is an executive producer. But the show puts you in Tokyo. It made me want to go to Tokyo. I will be going in a couple weeks. Shout out to Hideko Watanabe for getting a lot of paperwork. They still haven't opened up the country, so I got to get a visa.
Whenever Greg suggests a book to me, it's been a home run. Shows very similar, and so I'll watch it. And Michael Mann also has been busy at work creating and writing Heat 2, the novel.
Mm.
So that's another one to put on your radar.
But I think you would like the show, too. I'm gay for Tokyo Vice. It's fun. It's fun.
That's good. That's been on my list to get to. It feels like there's so much stuff
coming
out now.
There's so much out right now.
Yeah.
That it's almost too much. It's like they got to figure it out. The the entertainment got in the center.
They got to dial it back a little bit.
They have to figure out, like, pacing. Just it's like too the saturated. Old networks used to be like, you know what you're getting. You're getting original content from September to May, and then a break, and then you could catch up on reruns and all that stuff. We need to figure this out now for the digital world, the streaming wars.
It's a barrage.
Because we're just, and then their move, and maybe this is just interference they're running. It's like, then you must sign up for everything to catch up. And then all of a sudden you're like dropping $20,000, you know, a year on streaming services.
You guys got it.
There's my take. What was that?
Greg's checked out of the show, by the way, and he's starting to eat the rest of his sandwich.
That was my last thing that I was gay for.
Is it true that Greg was flaunting his wealth on the latest episode of the Jeselnik Rosenthal show?
I really wasn't. I don't know why she said no more. Definitely less than playing a backing music. Money, 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 money. It came up. All I said was like, oh, it was great. It was great to finally get a nice bump. It wasn't too crazy.
I think you used the words like, now I'm paid like a player, finally.
Is that true?
No.
Are you sure?
I said I'm not played. I was like saying kind of like when players talk about like that's a big day in their lives when they get a contract.
When
not
they make
that. Not that I'm paid like a player. Okay. But,
can we borrow your credit card?
I wish.
Yeah.
Are you picking up the tab here at Rocco's?
Sure. All right. Let's barely order anything.
Let's let Greg eat his wrap. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, how long is the show? I really have
wrap
to pee.
Wrap it up.
What is,
1 hour, 32 minutes
what
right
is,
now.
What is any scoreboard for the gay pun ombudsman? Like, who had the most? Who?
I think you probably did unintentionally.
Unintentionally.
Which was good. No, I think it was a good showing all around. I think everyone really stepped up to the plate.
Fun. The second annual Pridecast for the Around the NFL podcast is in the books. A lot of fun. Keep doing it. Erica, you're no longer going to be with the company in a couple days. But will you continue to come and visit us from time to time if your new employer allows it?
Yes, I would absolutely love it. And I'm super thankful and grateful for the last, you know, however it's been so long at the NFL. And without you guys and without you guys all pushing me to do more, I wouldn't be getting offered these opportunities that I am right now. And so I am truthfully forever indebted and love you guys more than words could say.
We love you too.
Super gay.
Go get what you deserve.
Right, and we aren't allowed to say where you're going next.
No.
But it certainly seems like you're going to absolutely destroy the position that you've been presented with. And I mean that in a good way, obviously, not take
but
it down.
But you buy it, Mark. I feel like we're maybe of similar minds. The Sam Darnold corollary here. We want her to get to a certain level.
I don't know if we're of similar minds where if she were to be successful that it would keep me up at night the same way that I think it might keep you up at night.
I don't know if I buy that.
To your own words.
Erica, do you want to announce it and bleep it?
I mean, what would the point be? But like sure.
I don't know.
We all know
it might
anyways,
just feel good. So
right, everyone knows. Okay. But yeah. No, I so I am gonna be
oh.
Amazing!
Oh
what?
My
this
God.
Is so great.
Thank wait, like
huge
that?
Mistake.
I know. So
you're gonna be great at it.
Thank you. I'm super, super excited, and blessed and grateful. But it wouldn't be without you guys.
It's awesome. So happy to have you here, Ricky. Thank you to everybody in the house, including Randy Chavez, the Gravedigger, Sean Kelly, just on bodyguard duty today. Definitely getting paid by the NFL to just stand in West Hollywood at a bar. And I love that. Any thoughts, Sean Kelly?
I just want to say thanks, guys. I love being a part of this. Gay for all of you guys. And just this is an amazing podcast, and I'm blessed every day to be a part of it.
Birds.
Oh, we love Sean Kelly.
Oh, and also, Colleen told me I had to say this. Go Birds, best team in the NFL.
There we go.
You're
nearly so body well. On fire, by
yeah,
the way.
And Kevin Danger Hanses. Yes, we talked about the WFAN situation, but maybe revisit, Mark. And I know we'll be on the same page on this. August and everything after. Not just the singles, Omaha, Rain King, Murder of One, Sullivan Street.
Absolutely.
Maybe,
out.
Kevin, totally. Your thoughts.
Let's go New York Rangers. And also, Erica Tamposi, congratulations, bravo.
Thank you.
Hey. Thank you.
The sex appeal. I am. Woohoo.
All right, thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back on Monday with a new up back in the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. Thank you for listening, and until then, heed that call.
Good afternoon!
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.